The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. To find out how to know God personally, go to knowgod.org, K-N-O-W, knowgod.org.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Share this message with someone who needs to hear it.
Who knew we'd get so tired of spending so much time at home? Pastor Greg Laurie addresses the questions and pressures of our current situation.
We can't control what is happening to us right now. I wish we could. But just remember this, God is in control and he has an end game. What is the end game? God's end game is to make you like Jesus. Whatever you're going through, God wants to make you more like Christ so God can use this in your life.
This is the day.
Watch an artist draw a caricature. At first, it seems like random lines going in crazy directions. Doesn't make any sense. Then you start to see the picture emerge from the doodle. Pretty soon, it turns from mess to masterpiece. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie says, as we look around, our lives may be a mess, but God specializes in turning messes to masterpieces. Let's learn how we can trust him and cooperate with his plan for our future.
God wants you to be happy. Did you know that? There are over 2,700 passages in the Bible containing words such as joy, happiness, pleasure, laughter, gladness, feasting, and celebration. This comes as a revelation to some people. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to celebrate. Here's something to consider. God is happy. Did you know that? God is happy. I like this verse that says that Paul's writing about the glorious good news entrusted to me by our blessed God, or another way to translate it, the good news from the happy God. We follow a happy God, and he wants you to be happy as well. But honestly, some of us are not happy. I read this headline the other day. Study shows Americans are lonely than ever due to coronavirus lockdown. Well, as I said, this is a new series called Quarantine Life. And you say, well, why do you base it on Philippians? Because the Apostle Paul was literally living a quarantine life. See, what happened was Paul had appealed to Caesar. And so he was put under house arrest. He was chained to a Roman guard. He had lost his freedom to go out and about and do what he wanted to do. And so he wrote this epistle. And this epistle, the epistle to the believers in Philippi, the epistle or letter we call Philippians, overflows with joy. It's not that joy is not in other epistles, but it's just that there are 19 times in 4 chapters where Paul mentions joy or gladness. How is Paul able to have this joy? How is he able to have this happiness despite the fact that he was living the quarantine life, despite the fact that he could not get out and do what he wanted to do? Number one, he knew that God was in control of his life. And listen to me, God is in control of your life as well. The coronavirus did not come as a surprise to God. He has allowed it for reasons we do not understand. But there are times when God may seem absent, but he never is. And number two, Paul understood that God was using these circumstances he was in for good. He mentions that also here in Philippians, Philippians 1:12. I want you to know, brothers, the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brothers in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are more bold to speak the word of God without fear. Did you hear that? He said, this happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, God is at work. We already mentioned that since we've been exclusively online with Harvest at Home, we have seen exponential growth among millennials. Their viewership is up 235%. Consider this idea. Could it be that unwittingly, simply by responding as best and as quickly as we could, we've stumbled onto part of God's answer to a generational riddle? We're always talking about how do we reach younger people? All they do is look at their screens. All they do is play video games. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to go to the youth group. They're not that interested. And look at what is happening. Thousands and thousands of people are coming to faith watching a screen. We have a generation that are so immersed in social media. It's native to them. In many cases, they would rather text than talk. We have a friend who is a therapist, and she deals primarily with young women who have eating disorders and other problems. And so she was talking to a young lady and asked her some questions. And the girl said, "Can I text you rather than tell you?" See, she was more comfortable. So we decry this fact. But wait a second. Could the next spiritual awakening come through a screen? It looks like God is at work and we should be rejoicing. I have a friend of mine, a millennial guy, and he was watching our service online last Sunday, and he said this to me, and I'll just quote it because I wrote it down. He said, "Just sitting alone in my living room, watching Sunday service with no one watching me, with no pressure to behave or perform, I had an encounter with God that was truly powerful." Listen, God can work in your life right now. And you can have an encounter with God as well in a few moments. I'm going to tell you how to experience this happiness, how to have this joy, how to have this peace in the midst of a storm through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now Paul shares a secret to how to be happy in Philippians 1. Read along with me if you would. Paul and Timothy, bondservants to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. If you want to be a happy person, you need to be a saint. Oh, you're thinking, okay, well, that definitely is not going to work for me. I'm the opposite of a saint. The word saint is just another word for a believer in the Bible. You don't have to work X amount of miracles or something like that. It just means you're a believer. That's all it means. So to be a happy person, you need to be a saint, because Paul is writing to the believers that are living there in Philippi. And notice he says, verse 1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. You're in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you. You're in him. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is an altogether different kind of person. The old things have passed away and everything becomes fresh and new. You know, there's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't know God. And I'll tell you how to know him in a moment. But here Paul is saying, this is what I found in my relationship with God. So when we read a book like Philippians or any part of the Bible, you need to understand that these words are addressed to people that believe in God. These words are the user's manual of life, if you will, given to us by the Lord. We're told in Scripture that it teaches us what is true, helps us realize what is wrong in our life. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. So if you're not a believer, they're not like some magic formulas in the Bible you can apply. These are written for people that believe. So you must believe, and if you're a saint, then it all applies to you and it all relates to you. Now here's another great promise in Philippians that can cause you to be a happy person. Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. God always finishes what he begins. If he starts something, he finishes it. Isn't that great to know? Can you imagine the Lord starts working in your life and he's changing you and then he just loses interest and moves on? That's not God at all. He always completes what he starts. With man, you have unfinished books, unfinished songs, unfinished buildings, but God finishes what he begins. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, he's the author and finisher of our faith. So what do we read here? We read that he's begun a good work in you. Notice it doesn't say you've begun a good work in you. You know, sometimes people say, I want to be a good Christian, and if I just read my Bible more and pray and try to be more kind and use less profanity, you know, it's not you doing it, it's God doing it. It's God who will change you. You need to ask for his help in your life. Maybe you've tried to change your life and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can't do that any more than a drowning person can save themselves. You need to call out for help, and the Lord will help you, and he'll change you. But notice what he says, he who has begun a good work in you. God wants to do a good work in your life. Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a great plan for your life, and it's better than your plan that you have for your own life. Never be reluctant to commit an unknown future to a known God, and I might add a loving God who has a good plan for your life, and I might also add a happy God who wants you to be happy.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. It's a privilege to bring these studies your way, and we're thankful for those who express encouraging words.
Pastor Greg, I have learned so much from you, and I would like to thank you. I didn't realize how little I knew about the Bible until I started listening to you. I have used what I have learned from you to tell others, and have had the opportunity to help bring others to Christ. You are a blessing to me, and I pray God's richest blessings on you and your family. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for all that you do.
When we hear from you, it's not only a blessing, it also confirms that the program is touching lives here in this community. You can leave a message for Pastor Greg. Call 1-866-871-1144. Again, that's 866-871-1144. Well, Pastor Greg is helping us respond appropriately to the challenging times we're in by way of his message, How to Be Happy, Though Stuck at Home.
Let's not waste our time. Let's redeem our time. The Bible says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Or as another translation puts it, make sacred and wise use of every opportunity. Look, we can't control what is happening to us right now. I wish we could. I wish we could stop this virus. I wish we could all get back to work again. But we can't. We can't control our circumstances. All we can control is our reaction to them. But just remember this, God is in control and he has an end game. What is the end game? It's Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. We Christians love that verse. But don't forget, after Romans 8:28 is Romans 8:29. Profound insight, right? But what does 8:29 says? It says, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's end game is to make you like Jesus. Whatever you're going through, God wants to make you more like Christ, because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. So God can use this in your life. And I suggest to you that sometimes the things we think are good in life may not be as good as we think they are. And some things that we think are bad may turn out to be really good. Does that make any sense? Remember the story of Joseph? His brothers sold him into slavery. That's a little overkill, don't you think? I mean, okay, maybe he was bragging a little bit and ratting him out to their father, but sell him as a slave? That's extreme. But God had his hand on young Joseph, and he ended up in a position of great influence in Egypt, ultimately in charge of the food supply. And when his brothers were hungry and they came to Egypt thinking their brother was long gone and dead, little did they know that Joseph was a powerful Egyptian official. They didn't recognize him because he didn't have his hair grown out long. His head would be shaved like the Egyptians. He had guy liner on, right? You know, he moved like this, you know, and walked like an Egyptian. I don't know. But they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. And his brothers walked in and he saw all of them. And this would have been the ultimate payback moment. But he dismissed everyone in the room And he turned to his brothers and he said, I am Joseph. That probably reverberated. I am Joseph, Joseph. And they probably thought, we are dead. They thought he was going to execute them, and he could have. But he said this amazing statement to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive. I don't know why we're facing this virus, taking the lives of people. It's horrible. But God is working despite it, and people are believing, and people are getting closer to God, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Until that day, when it's all sorted out and it all makes sense, we must trust in the Lord. As I've said before, never trade what you do know for what you don't know. Here's what I don't know. I don't know why this virus is here. I don't know why we haven't been able to find a vaccine for it yet. I don't know why a lot of things, but I do know this. I know God loves me. I know God's in control of my life. And I know that he causes all things to work together for good to those that love him. And I know he's going to finish what he started in my life. But it all starts with a relationship with him. I talked about becoming a saint. Let me say something that might sound odd, but it makes sense actually, biblically. Before you can become a saint, you must accept the fact that you're a sinner. See, we're all sinners. What is a sinner? A sinner is simply someone who crosses a line. So I have the black carpet and I have the little rug on the black carpet. So if I step over this, I've crossed the line. So when I break a commandment, like the Ten Commandments, you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall not kill, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. When I cross over that line, when I break the commandment, I've sinned. But sin also means to fall short of a mark. So God has set a mark, a goal for humanity, which is perfection. The Bible says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, we all fall short. But that's where Jesus comes in. Because we're not perfect. Because we're sinners. Because we mess up. God loved us so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and a rescue operation to die for us on the cross. Yes, he died on that cross for your sin. Because there was no other way to satisfy the righteous demands of God. But he rose again. Now he stands at the door of your life and he knocks. And if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? Let me say something to the kids right now. Because I've heard a lot of people say to me that their children asked Jesus to come into their life watching Harvest at Home. Kids, listen to me. God loves you. And God wants a relationship with you. He wants to come and live in your life right now. And in a moment, I'm going to lead a bunch of people in a prayer. And I want you kids to know that you can pray this prayer with me as well. And you can ask Jesus to come into your life. So here's what it comes down to. He's just a prayer away. We just have to call out to him. Coming back to my analogy about you not being able to save yourself. You have to call out to the Lord. Years ago, I was with Jonathan at the beach, and he was real small. And so I was helping him catch waves. And I got caught in a riptide. Now, here's the irony. I was only a few feet from the shore, but I'm in a riptide. And I can't get my feet on the ground. So I'm kind of being pulled, and I'm keeping him above water. But I can't get my footing. And there's a lifeguard, and she's watching me. And I see her watching me, but I didn't want to call out for help because I can't get in a riptide a few feet from shore. It's just embarrassing. Next thing I know, she comes down from the lifeguard stand and she's running toward me to save me. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I don't want to be saved 12 feet from shore or less. And I finally got my footing. I said, I'm okay. And she stopped and smiled. And so, but here's the problem. I was too proud to say I needed help. I actually did need her help. I'm trying to hold my son up above water and I could have gone down or he could have gone down. She was just doing her job. And sometimes we're like that. Oh, I don't need God. I won't call on God. Oh, really? You need him more than you realize. Not only for this life, not only so you can find the happiness and the peace and the joy we all want deep down inside, but so you can know with certainty that you'll go to heaven when you die. I said earlier, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. and I go to prepare a place for you. God has a reservation for you. He has a place for you, but you must believe in him and put your faith in him and ask Christ to come into your life. You say, okay, but how do you do that? It's so simple. You do it through prayer. Again, the Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. There's something magical about this prayer I'm about to lead you in. It's just a prayer where you'll say to God, you admit you're a sinner. You know you need his forgiveness and you want to invite him into your life. And it's also a prayer that you can pray if you're a prodigal son or daughter and you've wandered away and you need to come back to the Lord. So this can be a prayer of commitment or recommitment. But listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want to personally have Christ come and live inside of you and experience this happiness and joy I've talked about, then pray this prayer with me right now. You could even pray it out loud if you like. Just pray these words. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Jesus, come into my life. I call out to you. Save me. Forgive me. Make me a saint now. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And listen, if you have just prayed with Pastor Greg and have meant those words from your heart, well, first of all, welcome to the family of God. And second, we'd like to offer some help as you get started as a Christian. We'd like to send you our new Believer's Growth Packet. Just get in touch and ask for it. We'll send it free of charge to those making a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. If you missed any part of today's study, you can hear what you missed by going online to harvest.org. Just look for the message called How to Be Happy Though Stuck at Home. Stream the study all over again while you're online or download an MP3 for later. Or to order a CD copy, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, I remember a local quarantine order came down where I live, and it basically said, all right, everybody, stay home. Mm-hmm. And I understand that within minutes, the local supermarkets were overrun with people panic shopping. Mm-hmm. Should we ever be afraid that we're just going to run out of food and God's going to let us die?
No, I don't think we do. And I think, I remember the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt during World War II. And he said to America, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And he had a good point there.
Yeah.
Because your fear of what may happen can override what actually is happening. And a lot of the problems we've had in the supermarkets is not with the lack of supply. It's rather because people are being irrational and basically they're hoarding.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to just be reasonable about these things. And, you know, we want to be prepared for the future, but we certainly don't want to worry about it. You know, when Jesus addressed us in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, look at the birds,
Yeah. You
know, and your Father takes care of them. You know, and I'm amazed by birds. You know, they get up every morning. This morning I was woken up by the little birds chirping, mm-hmm. and they're always singing. And yet they don't have the promises of God in their life like we do. A bird doesn't have the assurance of eternal life like the Christian has. But they wake up every morning just chirping away happily, welcoming the new day. I've never seen a bird popping a Valium. But they just know that intuitively that everything's fine. You know, there's an old poem that goes along these lines. Said the robin to the sparrow, friend, I'd really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." Mm. So that kind of conveys the idea that God takes care of nature. Jesus says, look at the birds, look at the flowers. They neither toil nor spin, but your Father takes care of them. And Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then here's his real point he's building up to. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He did not say, don't think about the things of life. But he said, don't worry about these things. And he pointed to the birds. He pointed to the flowers as an illustration. So we need to take that to heart. So to help you to do that, in fact, I deal with that text and more from the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, in my brand new book that I've just written called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. And basically, it's a book that deals with fear, anxiety, worry in the light of COVID-19 and all the problems that it has brought on our culture. And I want to give this to you for free. Let's say that again and put echo on it this time, Dave. Okay. I want to give it to you for free. Free. That's right. Because I want you to have it. But listen, if you can send a gift to support our ministry, we would really appreciate it because we want to keep reaching more people with the gospel, not only here in the New Beginning, but also through our online church service that happens every Sunday that we call Harvest at Home that you can watch at Harvest Online. We are seeing, I'm not exaggerating people, we are seeing thousands of people coming to Jesus Christ. To me, it's like, well, it looks revival-like. And I pray it continues. So join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org every Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, there's so much to gain throughout the week as well. Sometimes we'll feature a Q&A time with Pastor Greg. There's women's ministry with Kathy Laurie and even motion pictures. So check out Harvest at Home anytime throughout the week at harvest.org. And remember, Pastor Greg would like to send you his new book, Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. And if you can help with an investment right now to keep this ministry available, we'd really appreciate it. But either way, request the book when you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. It's one of the most important questions we can answer. What do you live for? Well, Pastor Greg poses that question next time as he continues his series called Quarantine Life, right here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.